Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone. Today is Sunday, April 3rd, 2015. I'm Chief Langley of the Savannah River Band of Uchi Indians. And today, I'm going to give you a lecture on Indian slavery, colonialism, and the colonial slave trade. Most people are unaware and don't know the mechanics nor the effects of Indian slavery and what tribes were involved. This is very important. I find that many brothers and sisters of Native tribes who ancestors traveled to Oklahoma don't effectively know this history, which brings about the mindset of a lot of hatred, racism, claiming of wannabes. But I'm going to tell you something. Many people remained in the Southeast. When you study Indian slavery, you will understand in certain points in time, many intermingling between African slaves and Indian slaves. Don't think for one moment this didn't exist. Because it did. I find it very hard that many accept Europeans as claiming to be natives and embrace that, but then they shun upon African and native ancestry. Today I'm going to address it. I'm going to show you and point to you where the information is in the archives. This is something that needs to be studied well. Because when you deal with a period of time that dealt with slave breeding, you will understand what has happened and where we are today. It's very important. It's very important to understand European convict slaves that they call indentured servants that came to this country on prison ships. But America has led you to believe this only happened in Australia. I'm telling you, no. This happened here in America. Matter of fact, according to the records, those British convicts came to the Americas before the development of what they call Australia today. It's only when they stopped shipping European convicts to the Americas that they decide to establish a new place called Australia and start sending them there. These things are very, very important to understand. With colonialism and the colonial slave trade, because most people are under the impression it was only African. And I am telling you, out of all the colonies, out of all the states in this union, no one has more pristine records of colonial history than South Carolina. So you got to understand, for a very long time, from the Atlantic seacoast to the Gulf of Mississippi was all Carolina. There was no Georgia. It wasn't no Alabama. There wasn't no Mississippi, and there was no Tennessee at that time. It was the Carolinas. So when you're studying history, you need to look at the timelines and the maps to understand what was going on. So when you study the transatlantic slave trade, I recommend all who are listening, study it from an African perspective. And start in South Africa, a Malay. Understand that well and understand who they were trading with. So if you really want to understand the slave trade and the development of the Americans, you need to follow the paper trail of the Spanish and the Portuguese. When you follow those two, you will have a clear depiction of what was going on. People assume that all Africans or ships that originated from Africa had all African slaves on it. I'm telling you that is not the case. And when you look at all the records completely, out of that 4 million, 6 million, or 8 million, or 12 million, when they continue to get these numbers, only 6% of that, according to the records, came into the United States. So you got to understand, America is not the Americas. We're only talking about the 13 colonies. You got to understand this and understand well, because you and I have been lied to. There's one thing about the Americans. They tend to omit and suppress history. But all you have to do is go in the Spanish archives, the French archives, the British English archives. You will find the information that America has been suppressing. So today, we're going to deal with this issue on Indian slavery, which was the first. And most people think Columbus was the first to find the Americas. I'm telling you, according to earlier Spanish records, that is not true. He's only giving credit. So you got to understand, well, who was here in the 1400s? So when you deal, you have to deal with the Portuguese. Who were they enslaving? People known in today from the Solomon Islands, place of Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, what is now known as Polynesia, your Pakistanis, your Bangladeshis, India, all of these South Asian slaves were traded with the Portuguese, and they were also sent down to the Cape of Malay. Now, what you got to understand, there's a whole lot of African tribes engaging in slavery. Because I want to challenge your mind here today. Because what I want you to understand, that the Africans didn't send many of their own people in slavery. There were slaves that they gathered from the Portuguese and the Spanish. In those tribes. For one, you got to be very careful. A lot of African Americans run around here talking about their Zulus, and Zulus were never enslaved. They were slave owners and slave traders. Do you actually think that the Africans enslaved many of their own people? No, we're talking about some of the tribes from East Africa who ended up down in South Africa, then sent up to Angola, placed on the ships among some of those other African farmers and tribes that were enslaved, that went to war with those other tribes and placed on those ships. And you're wondering why, when you take DNA tests, it shows up South Asian. But your eyes are slanted today, and they tell you that's just blackness, and not give you the realness of understanding that you have an ancestor that may be Chinese, or may be Japanese, or maybe Taiwanese, or maybe come from Thailand. You will have to reassess the slave trade. You will have to reassess slavery. I'm telling you, yes, African slaves came here. Gullah Geechees are proof of it. But I tell you what, who were the other Africans? Or they wasn't African. They're Indians. Not just Indians of the United States I'm talking about at the moment. I'll get to that later. I'm talking about your Southeast Asian, your Fujitsu, your Polynesians, all on these slave trips. Got to understand it, and understand it well, because we have been lied to. And when you study it from a scholarship and you take time out to go look into these records, you find exactly what I just told you. Many of the Africans in early times that came into the Americas in the winter times, they were dying out according to the records. Couldn't stand the cold. So what did the Europeans do? Started breeding Africans with the Americans. And the Americans that I'm talking about right now are the Indians that is called your natives. I'm not talking about Europeans right now. They breeded them. See, you got to understand this, and most people don't understand it. So when it started this breeding process, the children would become immune to the diseases, as well as be strong as the Africans. These things happen, but they don't tell you about this in the history books. But I'm going to tell you today. Everything called African ain't African. Why are you saying that, Langley? Let me explain something to y'all that are listening. Every 35, 40, or 50 years, this is the only race of people, the so-called African American, that identity changes. Why is that? What's in that bowl of fruit cocktail that continues to have an identity change over time where everybody else remains the same? What is it? You should have a moment on that. Got to understand the social constructs in this country. When you realize and you study and you go study the signatory laws and you study slavery from a plantation owner perspective of breeding slaves, and you look at the records of his slave supply and see who's dying and see who they're breeding with, you will understand exactly what I'm saying. Very important. But they've led many of us to believe, all of us, descend from Africa. Maybe 50,000 years ago, maybe 100,000 years ago. But listen now, what I'm dealing with right now, I'm dealing with the time period of 600 years. Because we're going to deal with this today. Scholars, many of them, and the professors, many of them, have lied. Or the universities or the program don't allow them to address certain things. And that's understandable. But as an independent thinker and an independent researcher, I'm not buying to that. I take my engineering mind and research and decipher and analyze. And that is why I am giving you this lecture today. Not all those slaves on those ships were of African origin, even though they came from Africa. You can easily trace that by knowing what tribes engage in what crops. The rice, the sugar, the cotton. The African kingpins of that. But you better understand something else. Many of these African tribes were shipped here on prison ships, convict ships. They didn't come on a regular slave boat, which is a cargo. They came bound in chains on prison ships. Why? Because they were prison of war captives. You better understand this. Well, Chief, I don't understand. It is written in the records. There were two types of ships that brought slaves. Convict and your regular cargo ship that was fitted out for slaves. So many people wonder, I can't find slave ships. Well, slave ship is whatever cargo you have on it. Could be a supply ship. But if you look at it from the perspective of the prison ships, the same ships they used to send British, Scottish, and Irish convict slaves to the Americas, those same type ships, the same ships they used to send the Scottish and Irish to Australia, those are the same ships that went to Africa. And they picked up those prisoners of war that was captured by those other tribes that were sold in servitude. You have to understand this because history doesn't teach us this. You got to go dig in the archives and look for it. And trust me, when you study history beyond the United States of America perspective, you find what you looking for. British will tell you everything about them. Go study the British archives and you will find out in the British archives all the coolies. What are the coolies? Your Chinese and your Mexicans. But let's deal with the Chinese. The tens of thousands of coolies, slaves, in indentured service, but mostly slaves that they sent to this country in the Deep South. They don't tell you that in a history book. So you went around and wondering why you got slanted eyes. Because you got Asian in your family. One of your grandmothers or grandfathers, and most of these coolies that they sent here were men. The majority of the African slaves, prisoners of war they sent were men. Only then when they decided that they wanted to engage in slave growth and repopulation, then they decided to start bringing women slaves in. But you know what? They didn't bring all African women slaves in. They brought most of them convicts that they call coming from Scotland and Ireland and Britain as slaves. and they married in slavery, Negro and African men. Why are you saying that, Chief Langley? Go look at the laws. Read the colonial laws on race, and you will understand. When the mulatto became a factor, the law said in Virginia, the issue of a mulatto, an English woman and Negro man. Later in time in the 1700s, after they had so many African women, the issue of mulatto at that time, after 1705, was the issue of an English man and a Negro or African woman. If it wasn't so, why did they create the law for that? Because that's who they had in slavery, white women. Go check the records. Don't take my word for it. Go read early Virginia colonial records. Same thing with South Carolina. South Carolina said the mulatto in South Carolina was the issue of a white woman and a Negro African man. So when you're in South Carolina, depending on the time, you don't need to be looking for no white grandfather in colonial time. Don't blame it all on the slave. You better deal with those women and men, black and white, who were enslaved, because the law said the issue of a mulatto was a white woman and an African or a Negro man. So why did they throw African and Negro in there? Let's break that down. Because many Africans were free. And if the African that remained free remained being called African, the enslaved African was called Negro, because Negro dealt with a legal construct of slavery. And if you study Virginia aspect of it, of their two acts in 1682, Indians who are not in enmity with the government will be called Negro. These things are very important. And then some of these folks around here who don't read history that remained in the Southeast gonna sit here and say Indians have not been called Negro? They better go study some history. But that's not all Indians or Native. That's just the ones who got caught up in slavery. Many people will take this information and say, well, the Indians are Negroes. No, only those who were not in enmity with the government. So let's deal with that. Let's deal with that now from a South Carolina perspective. There's only two major tribes in the Southeast that got swooped into slavery really bad. Your Apalachee people and your Uchi people. Well, Chief, I never go check the records on it. See, most people in Oklahoma are not taking the time to study South Carolina colonial records, because they want to take this history away from them. It doesn't apply. Maybe to some of them it don't apply. They better read it and understand that it affects the ones that remain, didn't go west. Many natives did go west because they understood that was death. They ain't going west. That's death. I don't even sleep with my head turned to the west. That's death. But they think, because many of us remain, we don't understand certain things. But because they're in Oklahoma, they're the gatekeeper. But I tell you something, you better think twice. You better go start studying some history that's beyond that. These things are very crucial. Over 14,000 Apalachees and Uchis ended up in slavery and was spread across the Carolinas. This is written. Eyewitness account, Governor Barnwell. Colonel Parker are in South Carolina. Records. George Gaplin, Indian trader, setting a post up on Uche Creek, which is Uche Town. Go read his archives and see how many slave Indian wives he had. I can talk about the man. I got a right to. You're dealing with my family legacy when I talk about him. These things are very crucial, but they don't understand because many of them choose not to understand because we have a lot of clowns in the African-American community around here calling themselves Moors and something else, falsifying information, taking the authentic pictures, photoshopping them. This is what people do online. This is what people do on the internet. This is what people have done on Facebook. So when you read the history, you don't know what to believe. But I'm going to clear it for you today. Because the only Moors that I've read that was here in the 1400 time frame, you got to go search the Iberian slave trade as it deal with the Mediterranean and the transatlantic. And many of those people were of an admixture. Already mixed. The Spanish been in Africa since the 1400s or the 1300s. And the Portuguese trading with these people. You better go back and look and see the demographics of the people who were no longer pure Africans living in Africa. These people change maps all the time. They divide up territory all the time. Africa is not the true name of that country. Go research it. But these things are very, very crucial. And why I'm giving you this? Because when you understand history, you are able to research your genealogy effectively. This is what you got to do. Research. You don't know what's in your ancestral line if you hadn't studied a history of that time. So you need to study the maps. You need to study the laws. You need to study the migrations. You need to study slave breeding and who they were breeding with and where. Because after the Revolutionary War, over tens of thousands of slaves became free. These little settlements popped up. Settlements of Musty. African and Indian descendants. Mazezo, Spanish descendants. And American Indians. Sampo. But you and I were taught because they gave us little black Sampo. But you dealing with something from a Spanish perspective. And according to the Spanish archives and definition, Sambo is a mixture of a Negro and an Indigo or Indian, man or woman. That's the offspring of that. See, they have lied to us far too long. And you don't understand history. These are the things we have to now to take a look at carefully. They tell us a story, oh, the first Africans arrived in Jamestown. Really? Well, what about the Atlantic Creoles that came in by means of the West Indies that was here first? How many hundreds of years had the Spanish and the Portuguese been here? See, after the American Revolution, they're hiding stuff. You think South Carolina, Georgia, Florida started with the British? I'm sorry, it was already established. Many of you, listen to me carefully.
If you are of African descent or you have some in your line, you didn't come here on the transatlantic. You came here by means of the Spanish. You came here by means of De Soto. You came here by means of many other conquistadors. We're here by means of them living among the Spanish. Crucial. I take it to the heart and I take it seriously because they have played us by social constructs. Nobody ain't gonna tell me who I am. I know who I am. These things are very important. We gotta understand this. So as you go on your ancestor journey, start looking at the law and understand, why did Britain call these colonies penal states or penal? What a penal? Penitentiary? The plantation owner was the warden. They don't give you this in the history books. See, you got to go in the archives and study this. You can't find your ancestors in the 1700s because you're not looking for musty. And lo and behold, don't let me go into the amount of African slave owners that was in this country. Slavery was not about color. Slavery was about capitalism. The majority of the people may have come from Africa. But I tell you what, let's talk about the 400 to 500 convicts. Oh, they're just indentured servants. I tell you what, go check the colonial laws on the description and the rules and regulations that govern an indentured servant. You won't find too much difference than a blink of an eye between that and a slave. Got to understand these things. But people don't know slaves came here. You leave that alone. Go search these archives in these different countries. They came here. People need to take time out and quit generalizing their ancestry compared to someone else. I don't care if it's your neighbor next door. When you deal with genealogy, you need to deal with your individual family. Don't generalize that unless the neighbor next door is your brother or your sister or your uncle or your aunt. The further you go back in time, you might find you might be a white man. You might find that you're Indian. You might find that you're a Portuguese. You can only go what your conscience allow you to go because you haven't taken time to study the archives and get into the archives and get out of the history books. I'm giving you an ancestor warning. Get out of the history books. Get into the archives. Study the records on those communities. Behold, if you come up out of the AME and Baptist churches in the Southeast, you better check that ancestry very carefully. Because most of the Baptists that are in the South came from Virginia. Especially the Baptists who were in Georgia and South Carolina. But remember, when Georgia was established, Georgia was a free state. So in 1690, when Virginia decided to kick out 66,000 free Africans, these African people were in enmity with the government, the colonial government, the English government. Where did they come from? They didn't come here chained up. They came through immigration. But you lost because you are looking for African names. But I'm trying to tell you, people who've been living among Europeans 200 years before the slave trade and converted to their religious ways of Christendom, they no longer have African names. They got English names. And if they came by means of the Spanish, they have Spanish names. So when you're looking for ancestors, according to timelines, you have to stop looking for English names. According to timelines, stop looking for African names. According to timelines, stop looking for Spanish names. According to the timelines, you gotta study this very carefully. Don't adapt English names, no, vice versa. Your whole method of researching your ancestry has to change. I call it conscious genealogy. You got to change. You got to look at what colonial power conquered where. So, when we deal in the 14th and 15th hundred time frame and refine many Native ancestors, named Francesquez, Julio, Jesus, Martinez, because they converted to Catholicism and were in enmity with the people. You got to go search the Spanish archives with this. Then you will find a couple of years ago in Florida, under a church, they dug up over 400 Native people, and they were buried in coffins with crosses around their neck and jewelry on. And they had Spanish names. Why were they buried under the church? The question is, these old antique AME churches that's been around for about 200 years, but these Methodist churches, one was buried under them. Was buried under these churches. These are questions need to be asked. We don't ask these questions. You need to. Many of you can only go a certain time frame. Reason being, you don't understand the history of that time. Start studying the history, the signs of the study it by going to the archives. You got to look at who wrote these books. What were these authors thinking? How come after the Civil War and Reconstruction, they don't tell you about all these different colored senators and congressmen in the Deep South? Why do the history books shun that away? Because these authors who wrote this information is writing racist and biased. And I don't care if they're listening to me. They're not telling it right. School system don't mention one white slave. And there are thousands of them. Go check the Georgia archives and see how many white citizens are picking cotton in the 1800s. These things are very important, but they don't tell you that. I'm telling you because you need to know. Then there's the other questions I have
that I asked you time. Why did all these white folks, after slavery, since the so-called African American was bound up in chains and in slavery and the ignorant, why was he such a threat? Why did they go on all these hanging sprees? No, why? Because maybe a lot of those so-called Africans were slave owners themselves and gave white folks hell. These are things need to be addressed and think about, because you will find all the information that I have told you in the archives. See? Most people don't like to read. I read. I research. I have a hunger for it, because that's what my grandmother told me. Baby, you ain't come here on no boat. Then when I go look and find in the archives, and I go dig into the signatories, logs, books, that the signatories is what the plantation owner logs are. And I go and find my people on the Savannah River as Uchi Negro. Okay, we were slaves. Understand it. Understand, read the sin from what they call the British agent, George Gaplin, plantation. Because he married into my family. Tell you these things. They give us the perception that all native people look like people on TV. I'm sorry, that is not the case. That's why I don't follow many people who want to frown. Because I don't look like no Hollywood Indian. I don't look like no Hollywood native. I'm in the homeland. See? And if there is an African in the family, I'm going to say it just like the Cherokee said. I'm 1,500 or I'm 1,256. Because up to 1725, we can't find one. So if you don't know what many of the natives look like in the Southeast that remain, and those that are of a bad mixture of many other things remain, that's not my problem. I am not defined by the Dawes Road. Don't use it. Don't need it, because it doesn't apply to me. I deal with my heritage, my genealogy, my anthropology, my family archaeology. This is what I deal with on an individual base. And this is what all of you who are listening need to deal with. These things are very important. I'm amped up today because you need to know this, and I'm glad to tell it because my ancestors are boiling inside of me to get it out. These things are very important, people. Very important. Change your approach to how you learn things. Because the powers that be only wrote the books to benefit them and their children. I'm not racist for saying this. I'm telling you a fact. You wonder why the majority of these cops are acting the way they are? The question one should ask, what colonial laws from slave patrols are still on the books? So when they go after these kids, they now become a fugitive. What laws are governing that state in time then? It's no coincidence. But nobody is examining these old colonial laws. I'm telling everyone that listen to me right now, go and search the Negro Law of South Carolina. And see, don't you find some of the charges they're charging people with today back in the early 1700s. Don't think because it's the Negro law, you're not going to find Indians.
because Indians in the 1700s who were enslaved and not in enmity with the government were called Negroes. There are cases by cases by cases. Indian named Nat, born of an Indian man and woman. Slave master said he's a mulatto. Nat said he's an Indian. According to the law, he is an Indian. But according to the law, if he was a slave, he would be a mulatto. You got to understand these things. The stuff is written. The stuff is there. You have to look into it. Don't just go on Ancestry.com and Family Search and look at the population census. It's more to find in your heritage than that. You need to start looking at some land deeds. You need to start looking at some jails. You need to start looking at some insane asylum and search their records. You need to understand that many of your ancestors may have been doctors and lawyers. I'm sorry, doctors and nurses, still slaves. This is factual. Well, what do you have up north when you don't have the plantation? What slaves are running the cities? They ain't picking cotton in the city. What are they doing? Blacksmith. Shoemakers. Nurses. Doctor assistants or doctors. And married with families. History don't tell you this. Go check the archives. Thousands of information, family. Thousands. But you got to stay out of history books. Go get information where the writer gets it. You want to know where he has snuffed his nose. That's where you want to go. These things are very important. These things are crucial. There needs to be a new day in your mind when you search your ancestry. Come up out of the history book. Go into the archives. Look for the information that has been omitted and suppressed. And a lot of it been omitted and suppressed because they wrote laws not to reveal it. These things are crucial. I'm sorry. Not all African Americans are of African ancestry. Many of you come from Fiji, Solomon Islands, Polynesia, Indonesia, Malaysia. Some came from Australia. I am telling you what's in the records. Things are very, very important. Don't omit the AME church coming out of the South. Don't omit the colored Methodist church that changed their names in the 50s and now call themselves the Christ Methodist Church or the Christian Methodist Church. You got to ask the question. If the colored Methodist church came up out of the AME church or the Methodist church, why have two African churches in colonial times when slavery was going on? Because maybe they may not be the same people. Even Richard Allen himself, according to his writings, his mother was an Indian. So how many more? Don't follow Bill Gates on this, because Bill Gates' hands is probably tied by the university. There's more than 1%, especially in the Southeast. Go and check the records. But they tell you, Richard Allen established the AME Church. No, he established the AME Church of America. Zion was already in existence. What coup came about? Things are to be asked. Question. Go and research. Then when you come across many of the bishops or the board members in those colonial times look into their ancestry, see where they come from, see who their mother is, because slavery followed the condition of the mother. So when they created these religious corporations and religious societies, they were free inside the walls of America. This thing is crucial and very important. Most people don't take the time out to study colonialism and imperialism. Taking another man's wealth or taking the people and moving them from one country to another country. And take their manpower and their willpower and send it back to the mother country. Did you know, do many of you know, when Scottish and Irish slavery, European slavery in this country ended? 1838 or 1839? Well, Chief, I never heard of that. Go and check the census archives and look at the census codes and the enumeration. How many free white people in the household? Why are you going to say white? Why are you going to say free if ain't nobody was enslaved? This thing is crucial. No more time for the okey-doke. Ain't having it no more. I'm going to roar like a lion and tell you what I found and show you exactly where it's at. Well, Langan, why haven't you written a book? Why write a book? Book when I can tell people where to go check it out for themselves. These are things you need to know. I've made it upon my calling to tell you. Because you've been lied to many times, over and over and over again. And you were taught that many of the traditions that you have is of African origin, and many of these traditions are not. Sometimes they're a mixture of Indian and African. Because slave breeding produced these communities. Well, I never heard of it, Chief. I tell you what, go back and check the 1910 census and look at the survey they did that led up to a racial change in how they view the census in 1930. That's why you will find when you go and read the 1930 census, which is one of the most racist documents I've ever read. And it's very prejudiced. But it was created by the United States government. You know what it says? Indian and Negro will produce Negro. Indian and white will produce white. For the first time in history, the Mexican is recorded as being Mexican. So what were the Mexican before then? If you go and study South Carolina census records, you will find many Mexicans and many Chinese listed as black and colored. Take my word for it. Go check it out. I'm telling you what's there. We've been duped and lied to, as Malcolm said, ran amok. Ain't no more muck today. I'm telling you today what it is. Yes, there's fire in me because of the lies that we've been told, that our children been told. All the Indians died. All the Indians are in Oklahoma. Yeah, right. Even the ones who are a mixture of African. If you grew up in a native household or in a native community, that's who you are. You're not in Africa. You have your native ways of your grandmother and so forth and grandfather and so forth and so on. You kept those ways and traditions even though you were in a community among so-called African-American people. They didn't duke no other race in this country but the so-called African-American. That's why many of us growing up would say some of the white people were passing, especially in the South. They didn't do that to the white race. They didn't do it later to the Asian race. Why did they create this African-American race? This is a people in a bowl of fruit cocktail that many of you don't know who your true identity is. Many of it is African. Many of it is Native. Many of it is some of both. But we'll go back and study the laws that were created among the slaves and slave breeding and define that mulatto. You will find who you are. Because they recorded it back then. Thing I hate today with indexing, and many of you might be an indexer for Family Search or Ancestry.com, is they're changing the word Negro from the 1800s and now putting African American. I have a problem with that. Because the Negro in colonial times may not be African. Why are you changing that? Putting African American, that word didn't exist. To be honest with you, I haven't found the word black exist till about the late 1880s. I've seen Negro and Musty in earlier census muster rolls. I've seen more musty than African. People, you got to go dig into these muster rolls. You need to dig into the plantation owner's record. Well, Chief, I don't know what plantation my folks, I tell you what. Go check every plantation in the county that you know your great-grandmother come from. Open the books. Most of them now, these plantations, are on the historical record. So they are on the National Historic Archives. Go read those records. Many of the Africans that came in around the 1800s still had their African names. You have to see, there's one thing you have to understand here. And a lot of religious people will get upset with me, but I don't care. But what you need to do is go study this from a religious perspective. Many slaves converted to Christianity to become free because that was the law. How did they convert? They baptized them to be free from sin. What was sin at that time? Slavery. I am telling you what's written in the colonial records. Now, why don't the pastor preach about that? Got any beef with me, come see me. I will take you directly to the law. They don't tell you that today. Later than they changed the law. A slave can no longer be baptized and set free. Because too many were doing it. People, these things are crucial and very important. You got to study the history. When you study the history and study the history according to timelines, according to a map, according to a location, just go out to the cemetery and look at the oldest grave out there and research that area from that. And if that grave is next to some of your ancestors, he might be your ancestor. Oh, somebody out there buried in the cemetery with an old Spanish name could be an old Spanish person. Don't think that way if this back up in the 1700s. That was Spanish time. They converted to Catholicism. Took a Spanish name. They may have spoke English and Spanish. I don't know why these Spanish people buried out here. Stop it. I am opening your eye of consciousness. Your third eye or your first eye is open today. I have opened it. Don't disregard that. Look at those headstones. Examine those symbols. Take your time. See what they mean. These things are very important. You overlooking simple stuff that you shouldn't. That's the sign that your ancestors left for you to follow. How many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Native people who were called Negro after slavery in the 1910 census didn't speak English nor an African dialect? Wow, I didn't know that. I tell you what, you better go check the records. You'll find out. See, it is up to you and I today to make a stand in the living for our ancestors. But we need to do it in truth, not in making up, trying to take somebody else's heritage and history. That don't apply to you. That's not your ancestry. Your ancestors want you to be who you are. I don't jump on nobody else's bandwagon. No need to. I know who I am. I know who my family is. We know. I am just telling you what you should account for and do. Don't follow the wind of somebody else's wings. Lead you in a direction you don't come from. Take an independent approach. Make it your duty to deal directly with you and your family when it comes to your ancestry. And all you need to do is study from a forensic perspective and from the archives and not read history books. Many of these genealogies out here don't even know the law. Many of them have no concept of colonial laws because they view being a genealogist as hognogging with the tardy-tardy, and it appears to be prestige, and they don't know crap. Many of them don't. You don't have to join no genealogical society to know how to do in-depth research. You don't need to become a member of those societies. What you need to do is go read. Go dig in the archives. I'm not a member of those societies, but I follow their protocols on how they do research. What are your guidelines? Okay, I'm going to follow your guidelines, but I'm going to use my own method. Need that. No. Truth is written in archives. Compare the archives to a textbook. You will burn the textbook every time. I'm telling you what is there. So today is why I gave you this lecture on Indian slavery, colonialism, and the colonial slave trade. And keep in mind, coming up out of the Southeast, in the 1750 time frame, from 1700 to 1750, nearly 600,000 natives that they call Indians were shipped from the Southeast to the Caribbean. Many of them returned later. They were admixture of Spanish and Indian. Indian and European, Indian and African. These things are very important. Very, very important to learn. I created the House of Ancestry. And the House of Ancestry is a genealogical, historical database. I created that website with an alliance of friends to give you the information that I am talking about today. Go to that website and research. is there laid out for you.
These things are very, very important. I want to thank y'all for listening today.
I'm going to open the calls up for some questions for the next 30 minutes or so. I'm going to start with 614-937.
Keith, hey,
yes.
I don't have any questions today. I was just listening to everything you had to say today. I don't have any questions currently.
Okay. 614-537.
Hey, Chief, how you doing today?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just like to, you know, just like to say that it's been an honor to come on your call and listen and make the truth clear where people can actually have a good mind frame to actually where to look and actually, you know, start to wake up and look at the things where it actually is, you know. And so, you know, like
we've
said,
been,
you know,
lied to.
Yes.
And it's time to make a stand, and it's time to come forth with this information. And
exactly.
Not fuzzy it up. I'm just telling you exactly what it is. And that's what people should get. And there are a lot of groups out here that give people false information. I'm not about that. My groups are not about that. I use Facebook only for educational purposes. That's a mean of giving back.
Yes, and you know, Angel, we definitely appreciate that.
You know? Oh, you're welcome, man. Anytime.
No problem.
Anytime.
No problem.
All right. Okay. 614-373. 614-373. You have anything?
It's not.
205-757.
Great day, Chief. How are you? I'm just listening to the show, another powerful show. Just listening right now.
Okay. All right, then. Okay. So, as you go on your ancestor journey, remember searching the archives. You have to dig deep. And I want you to take something with you. I want you to remember this. If you never hear anything from me again, remember this. Why is it, of all the so-called races in this country, African American has changed and constantly changed to every 35 to 50 years? We done been Musty, we done been Mulatto, we done been Sambo, we done been Negro, we done been Black, we done been Colored, now we African American. What is next? I'm telling each of you, go and claim your true identity. Search for it. I ain't telling you to go claim no sovereign society. I don't follow that crap. I don't even believe in that crap. A Uchi has never been a Moor. Never. Take the time. Study the history of where your people come from by means of the archives. You don't need to join any of these organizations. Claim it. They're going to go to the UN and free you. What they're going to free you from is some dollars in your pocket and a broken heart when you find out it is not true. I don't subscribe to that discipline. Never have, never will. And if anybody come around me with it, I'm going to get the hell away from them, or they need to get the hell away from me. That ain't the route to take. Because there's too much hidden information out there in the archives, on your community, on your family, that you can research. That is what you need to do. And on that note, and if anybody else don't have anything today, I enjoyed having you. You can check us out at thehouseofancestry.com, or you can go to the Yuchi website, srbchehetribe.org. I place a lot of information out on Native American slavery because that's part of our story of the Yuchi people up the Savannah River. Despite anybody else who claim to be Yuchi don't want to identify with it, they don't have to re-identify with it because we are still in the homeland where it happened. These things are crucial. They are facts. Another thing to keep in mind as an advice to all of you, do not place your family trees out because people will come steal your heritage or try to lay claim to you. Another thing that don't reason to do it, you don't know how well they've done their homework. So you don't know if that information is correct. There's a whole lot of common names out there. Names ain't it. You need to go dig in the trenches and understand who the people are. Don't waste your time with that. Do your own research. I don't have any trees up and will not put any trees up. You want to see my information? You got to come sit down in my house. I won't have it any other way. Nor should you. Should be very careful with that. Very careful. Because you don't know who's secretly studying you. Then take your ancestry and make an attempt and go petition some tribe somewhere that might be given some stipend. And you've missed your blessing because they've stole your ancestors. Be careful with that. Be very careful with it. Your heritage is very precious. Those are your ancestors. Your mother, your father, your grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, so forth and so on. That's you. Many of them left nothing for you but what is in your genes. And what's in your DNA is precious. Awaken it. Reverence it. Console it. It belongs to you. So, family, appreciate all of you today. Don't have any more questions. I'll see you down the genealogy trail. And have a very good evening. Goodbye.